Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, this is Rod Colon, and welcome to OYC 21 on Monday, September 28, 2015, from Jackson, New Jersey, on Blog Talk Radio, online at blogtalkradio.com/OYC21. Our mission is to educate and empower students and professionals globally in how to network, a critical skill in managing one's career as a business. We are building a great resource on career management and networking best practices for our students and professionals around the globe. And you may say, what's OYC 21? Well, it stands for Own Your Career in the 21st Century. And today, our guest is grants consultant Stacy Abate, who I've known for quite a few years from Georgian Court University. She now has her own sole proprietorship, and she is just a delight and a wonderful networker. Welcome to the show, Stacy. How are you today?
Great, Rod. Thanks for having me.
It's great. It's great having you. And so, Stacy, you've heard me many times talk about being the CEO of me, managing your career as business, working with both professionals and students. What does the tagline of owning your career mean to you?
Well, I think it's just that, Rod. It's owning it. You step up and be responsible for yourself, your clients, your image, being careful how you project yourself wherever you go, even if it's just your kid's school. When you're working for yourself, it is all about you all the time. You just need to be open and conscious of that fact that you are representing you all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, tell us a little bit about the work as a grants writer and as a business owner and providing this service to an organization. Tell us a little bit about that work.
Well, I have to tell you, Rod, I love grants. And one of the things I love about it is how many times a week even I get somebody who goes, "This is your job? Oh, my God. Yep, this is my job, and I love it." Because I get to work as a consultant with a wide variety of organizations, so I get to learn a little bit about so many different things. I get to work in healthcare and education, health and human services, small social service organizations, really large healthcare providers. So I'm never bored. I never stop learning. And I get to really make a difference. The grants that I make, write, and bring money in for really make a difference. Things like I write for a rape crisis hotline. I write for a NICU. These things, these services that my clients provide make such a huge difference in individual lives. So although I don't work directly with patients or students, I make sure the money is there so that those services can be delivered.
Yeah, that's a great, great opportunity. Now, as a business owner, and we talk about managing our careers of business, but in your grant writing profession, there is the whole aspect of bringing value about the organization understanding your benefits and the advantages of using you versus someone else. How do you put that together? How do you, certainly there's networking, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but how do you distinguish yourself from others, and how do you think about that? Because for many students or professionals, they struggle with understanding the value they bring to a organization. How do you do that?
Well, I'm a grants person, but I think it transcends to whatever your area of expertise is. But it's just that, expertise. I have been doing grants and only grants for 18 years. There is, and I love them, so I'm constantly learning and still doing more. If you just become the very best at whatever it is you do, I think that your work reflects that. And it makes it easy to talk about. I could talk about grants all day. We could talk about pre-award, post-award, research, writing, all day long. If you have that kind of passion for whatever whatever your content or what, you know, whatever your focus area is, I just think it comes across. I'm never stumped when a client asks me a question, you know, like, how will we do this? Because it's rare that I haven't seen it before or haven't seen something similar enough that we can figure out a workaround or a way to answer it.
Sure, sure. Stacey, how much of your business is cold call versus a reference of someone brought your name up to someone to contact you?
Oh, 100% word of mouth, 100%. I accept new clients all the time, but I'm never actively, like, advertising for them because I get referrals all the time. It is all about my work. My personal work is always, always been just personal references and word of mouth references.
Do you ever let those who you've done a project for successfully, do you always let them know as you're concluding the program with them to keep you in mind, or if others can benefit from your service, to please let them know? Do you share that with them?
Of course, absolutely. And I have people that sort of take me from one job to the next. So, like, for example, there's one woman that I've been working with for probably close to 15 years, but every time she's an executive director of a nonprofit. But as she has moved from job to job, as she's gotten settled and brings on her own staff, she always brings me with her. So sometimes I keep her old place of employment and sometimes not. But she's referred me to several other organizations as well. And, you know, Rod, we're in New Jersey. It's not that big of a place. Like, many of us know each other really well, you know, see each other at all different, you know, people kind of job hop around, like go from nonprofit to nonprofit, but it's all sort of the same group of people. So there's a lot of opportunities if you get out and about to, you know, yeah, meet people and continue those relationships even when they move on to the next job.
Right. And that's so important, and certainly for Stacey as running her true sole proprietorship, but for all others who are employed or consultants working in an organization, it's important to do the same. Just letting the work speak for itself and not sharing or engaging them or allowing them to keep your name in front of others, you want to do that. It's something that is so, so important. Now, Stacey, you're hearing the love and the passion that you have for the work and how you truly make a difference, which also means that you have a fairly busy, sometimes could be chaotic day with so much going on. How do you manage your day?
Chaos is a good word, but I, for the most part, I work from home, so you do have to be really, really disciplined in order to do that and not get distracted by, you know, housework or whatever else might be going on. I normally, my office is set up in such a place that I can see the rest of the house, like see the front door, see what's going on, but I can stay focused right where I'm at. So I do most of my writing, like, you know, real focused writing in the mornings, because I do have children, so my afternoons do get a little bit more broken up than I might prefer. And then I come back to it in the evening, you know, especially if there's a deadline looming. But I'd say if I can write straight through from like 7 to noon, then I'm feeling pretty good about the day.
Do you have some sort of a diary or a to-do list or some online program that you use to kind of chart your day?
I have lists of my lists. I have lists, really. I keep like a journal right next to me that I'm writing notes in, keeping track of like deadlines upcoming. I also have lists in my phone and on my desktop. But no, I don't have like a, there's no particular app that I use other than the stickies. Yeah.
Sure, sure. So based on some type of calendaring system that you have, within that calendar, do you say, I'm going to write from 8 to 10:30? Do you slot that in almost like an appointment, or you just mentally know that that's what you're going to be doing?
Just mentally. If I look at my calendar for the day and look at my upcoming deadline calendar, like I have 6 grants going out this week. So I know where I'm at with each one of them, sort of how much time each one has. And in my appointments for today, like I already have blocked out, you know, 1 to 3. After you and I hang up, my next meeting is not until 3. So that's a good 2-hour chunk that I'll be able to make substantial progress on one of those deadlines.
Got it. So if you're looking at an open space, you could use that as writing time.
I definitely do use that as writing. Absolutely.
Excellent. Excellent. You're listening to OIC 21 on Blog Talk Radio, online at blogtalkradio.com/OIC21. Our guest today is Stacy Abate, a fantastic and fabulous grants writer and a very good friend. Let's move it to more of the social media and certainly my preferred application, LinkedIn. Do you use it, and how do you use it?
I do use LinkedIn. In fact, I love LinkedIn. But I have to say, I bet that I only use a small fraction of what it's capable of. And I'm on it almost every day, and I'm sure I'm still missing out on as much as I could be using it. I make sure my profile is updated, all my contact information is correct. The value I find in it right now really is in all of the discussion forums. Because grants, especially as a consultant, but even any type of grant writer tends to be the only one in their organization. So you really need to find places to commiserate and communicate with other grants people, because it's a very specialized thing. And a lot of people in your office, you know, they don't get it. So you need to have that opportunity to say, here's what I'm struggling with. You know, what does anybody think? Whether it's a content, you know, a real grant issue, or just a running your business type issue. You know, should I upgrade to Dropbox Pro? Was it really worth it? Those forums are super, super helpful. So that's where I'm finding the most value right now.
Excellent. And if someone was to reach out to you on LinkedIn that you do not know who they are, they have, you could sense from their profile they're not into grants or anything like that, but they saw your name and they sent you an invitation without any specific phrasing about how they met you or why they're interested, simply using the standard LinkedIn invitation. What do you do with one of those types of invitations?
I struggle with that, actually, Rod. I look at their profile, try and figure out where the connection might be. Maybe it's like a little bit further down in their volunteer interests or something. If it's not readily apparent, then I look at who we have in common, and then I decide. If it's really, truly just feels very random to me, I don't accept the invitation.
Yeah, yeah. I do the same. What I do is I send them a note back, not within LinkedIn, but prior to accepting them, and then just say, you know, have we met? You know, I meet so many people, forgive me, but, you know, I'd like to kind of know or kind of get a sense of, you know, what your expectations are of our relationship. And usually 7 out of 10 never respond, so I don't waste my time. And the 3 who do, then I'm engaged with them at some level. So that's kind of been, you know, the working. Within
that's
LinkedIn itself, let's just, So within LinkedIn itself, let's just try a little different, which is someone in your network who you know is interested in being introduced to someone else in your network who you know. What type of information would you expect from the requester who you know to make the introduction happen, for you to be comfortable enough to make the introduction?
Why? What is it, like, why do you want me to make this introduction? Are you hoping to work together? Do you need something from that person? Like, just a little bit, enough information. Because I'm happy to do that, and I do it all the time when I think that two people should meet each other, really have a lot in common, or are working on a similar project. But when I'm asked to, yeah, I really need to know why.
Good asking, and be it some documentation. I mean, think of a student who may be interested in an internship with someone you know. You would expect them to have a resume, some type of reason, maybe a cover letter, something to help you, because it's certainly your credibility is on the line with the individual that they're interested in speaking to. So that's key.
Absolutely.
All right, now many who love helping people and who are passionate about making a difference struggle in broadcasting their personal brand and broadcasting who they are. They tend to be humble, reserved, and it's not about me, it's about others and helping others and all that. So certainly I'd love to know is, how do you broadcast Stacy Abate's brand?
That's such an interesting question, because as a grant writer, my name doesn't go on anything. I'm submitting a grant on behalf of the organization or of the project director or of the department. So it never, just like I don't get any of the money, I don't get any of the credit either. So that is a struggle to make sure everybody in the organization or who would be appropriate knows who wrote that grant and who can write the next one. How, I think, is beyond just letting the work speak for itself, is just being out there and having your name out there. And there are quite a few organizations that consider me their grant writer, and that's super valuable. It's just that name recognition and just being around long term. Like, I'm not, this isn't a part-time job or something I do on the side. This is all I do all the time, and it's all I talk about all the time. So I think at this point, when if you're local to the area and you say grants, my name comes up enough that it, you know, just keeps perpetuating.
Right. Okay. We'll drill a couple of things here. Were you a, did you run an association or a president of an association?
I did. That was the most valuable thing I ever did. Whatever your area is, you need to be involved.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yep. Whatever your area is, you need to be involved in your professional organization. So for us, it's the Grant Professionals Association, grantprofessionals.org. And as I said, grants writers tend to be very alone all the time, so you really need that support network. Now, GPA is a national organization with local chapters. We didn't have a local chapter, so myself and a few colleagues started one. So I was the founding president, as well as, and then I was on and off president, vice president for quite a few years. That opportunity allowed me to meet all the other grant writers throughout the state. We used to host an annual conference, as well as attend our national conference. And I ran that program for years, and I hosted our annual conference for years. And that was really the most valuable thing I think I did in the last decade.
Would you say that supported and assisted you in broadcasting your brand?
Oh, 1,000%. You should definitely be involved. Definitely be involved in your professional association, whatever it is.
Which is key. Which is so key. So broadcasting, sometimes people think of it as you're on a soapbox with a trumpet, yelling as loud as you can about what you do, or that, you know, used car salesperson, right? It's not that at all. It's just simply getting your name, what you do, your brand, your value to out there, to the industry. So one way is certainly being a volunteer, member, president of an association that's within your core space. Another thing that folks do, Stacey, is writing. You know, they write about the profession. So if you do write, or if you've thought about it, you know, developing a blog about what it is that you're passionate about, since you enjoy writing, but it just, you know, could be something else that's out there to get the brand out there. Certainly within LinkedIn now, they offer a way, and I sent out a post this morning that goes to the global, you know, LinkedIn membership, and whenever somebody writes about, you know, career management in posts, any post that's out there on career management or any post that's out there about grant writing or grants or anything like that, they will find as additional, so not just doing a Google search, but you can actually do a LinkedIn search related to specific topics. So as you mentioned Dropbox, there could be individuals who have written about Dropbox that you can search on and through LinkedIn reach out to them directly, which is very cool and can be something that can be of benefit to you.
I would also give a plug to Charity Channel. I was a contributing editor to Grants and Foundation Review for many years, and you're right. I got tons of referrals from that, just from having my name out there, my articles out there. And I later found out that a series that I wrote on grant reviewing that was used in college classrooms across the country. I had no idea.
Yeah, which is great.
That
is how you just connect the dots and share. You're listening to OIC21 on Blog Talk Radio, online at blogtalkradio.com/OIC21. Our guest today is Stacey Bates. She's a grants consultant and just passionate about her role and her work. Stacy, let's think about our college students. You know that I spent some time over at Georgian Court University working with our Women in Leadership Development seniors in their program. So what advice would you give to college students, doesn't have to be seniors, but just college students in preparing to enter the workforce? What are some of the top things you'd like to share?
Clean up your social media. Make sure your LinkedIn profile is the thing that comes up first if somebody Googles you. I think that there is so much, there's just so much out there right now. So many people looking for so many different opportunities. You have to differentiate yourself. And an easy way to do that is to be the most professional person you can be. Be open to meeting new people. Chamber of Commerce, if that's appropriate for you, or MODC or whatever local networking groups are available to you, you have to take advantage of them. You can't just be sending your resume out and hoping for the best.
Right. You mentioned an interesting word, an interesting point, which is to differentiate yourself. How does a student with maybe one or two internships or just volunteer work, how do they differentiate themselves from their competition?
By being the most professional they can be. I think everybody's probably starting out in the same boat with, like you said, one or two internships and some volunteer work. But did you really do the best you can be? Was all your volunteer work focused on the same passionate interest? You know, can you talk about it forever, or was it just something your mom made you do? I think that passion comes across both in your resume, your cover letter, your LinkedIn profile, whatever it is you're going to be the very best you can be.
Excellent. And what is the best way for people to network with you? What would you recommend? If somebody wants to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
LinkedIn, of course. I respond to anybody that emails me through LinkedIn. I respond to everybody that emails me, but LinkedIn is super easy. It comes right to my phone. I'm online pretty much all the time, so I'm very accessible. And if you Google me, my articles all come up. But if you want to contact me directly, I would absolutely recommend LinkedIn.
Fantastic. Yeah, you know, one of the things, Stacy, that we may have individuals, both professionals who are in transition or professionals mm-hmm. currently employed but looking to transition to something as you're doing, or a student who is looking to be in the grants writing. They have a love and passion for writing and contributing to the community. What are a few tips, ideas, continuing education programs, certifications that you would recommend for those who'd like to pursue a career like yours?
Well, that's a two-part question. So here's my two-part answer, is that I love being a consultant, but I have worked for organizations both in a full and a part-time capacity. If you want to be a consultant, it is much easier to start out as an employee. So you can learn all of the ins and outs of just the grant writing aspects as part of an organization with resources and organizational support. Learn as much as you can before ever branching out on your own.
Excellent.
So that, I think I would start there.
Okay. And if let's say I'm interested in doing that, what would you say are some of the core skills that an individual must have, just no doubt, must have
organizational
to pursue this type of an opportunity in an organization? What core skills must you have to be an excellent grant writer?
Organizational skills, of course, and writing skills, of course. My bachelor's is in English, so of course, you know, able to process and comprehend, you know, synthesize information quickly is essential, but really organizational skills. Besides managing multiple deadlines, every one of those deadlines, every one of those proposals has multiple attachments. You have to follow the directions. You have to attach everything, even if you think it's redundant or if they already have that information, you need to attach it again, and you need to keep it straight. I frequently do proposals where the proposal, the narrative piece, may only be 20 to 50 pages, but there may be 100 or 200 pages of attachments. They have to be in order and, you know, numbered or sometimes stapled, sometimes in a folder. You have to be able to follow the directions. Rod, one thing you asked me before, I just wanted to go back to.
Sure.
You asked me about certifications or trainings. There are very few. You can get basic grantsmanship training pretty much at any community college, but I'm very leery of anything that offers a credential or a certification. The only two things I'm really comfortable recommending are anything put out by the Grant Professionals Association or the Foundation Center. If you have access to a Foundation Center library, they do tremendous, excellent workshops at their main site and also at their satellite sites around the country.
Great. That's great. Thank you so much, Stacy, for sharing a few minutes of your day with us here at OYC 21. Loved it. Great information. Thank you so much.
Rod, thank you so much for having me. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Absolutely. That was Stacy Abate Grant, Grant's consultant. Just an absolute delight. To find out more information on how to own your career, visit my website on rodcolone.com. I'd love to hear from you during the week. Make sure you join our LinkedIn group, Own Your Career with Rod Colone. Here you can post your career questions and be part of a global group committed to running their career as a business, the CEO of Me, Inc. I appreciate you, our listeners. I know how difficult it is to own your career. Thanks for listening in. God bless you. Keep the faith and networking alive. And on to our next show. This is Rod Colone with OYC 21.